Hey, what you waiting up? Check, checkers on your phone. This the Tony Sands Show. Turn your radio on. Chelsea just turned down like a field goal, so we in the zone. Got games like a stadium. I'ma go ahead and pack the dome. I'm cooler, smoother. Make you think with your medulla. You a student, I'ma school you with the facts that I'm producing. This is for the high schoolers, college students. Nah, everyone can do it. Do this, I ain't new to this. My style is rich, it's lucrative. Maneuver through it. You know it's fast, only. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. You book at me every Monday after kickoff on Sunday. I got these cold hard facts and we ain't talking Sundays. Co-host with Kelly Daly. Shout out to the big homie. You know it's so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Co-hosting with Kelly Daly. You know it's facts only. You know I'm so sensational, like my big homie Tony. Tony, Tony, Tony.
Go BBS Radio.
Go BBS Radio. Listen, we're back on at the Tony Sands Show live from the Marriott Marquis All-Star Weekend in Atlanta. It is hot and slizzling. Listen, I got my man Mo Love with the love. Mo, we're here in Atlanta, man, and your city is popping when it comes to entertainment. NBA All-Star, you guys have had the Super Bowl. How those two events compare when you look at the size and the amount of money that they're bringing to the Atlanta area?
Well, you know, hello everyone, back on the air again. Mo,
that's
Love.
My man, Mo Love.
What's going on? Yeah, the city is popping, it's hot with the All-Star Weekend with NBA players here. And it was kind of like a mixed emotion with the mayor in Atlanta have telling people not to come, you know, because of the pandemic. And they were concerned about the people, the amount of people coming and putting in the news saying, we don't want people here, don't come. And people still came. The city is still strong. It's different in NFL with the Super Bowl, you know, it made your money. So it's bigger than All-Star. So, you know, NFL is going to always have a big crowd come in. But the All-Star happened. There's a lot of people here. The people are in the spots and they're going hanging out at 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and they're doing it. You know, they partying like crazy on that right now.
Partying like rock stars. But Mo, listen, as you know, the mayor of Atlanta did not want people coming to her city. She's, you know, with us being in COVID and everything like that, she did not want that many people ascending in Atlanta. And when you look at that and you say, okay, here you are, you committed to a event. You committed to an event here in Atlanta, but now you're telling people not to come to Atlanta. Was that a smokescreen by saying, hey, listen, we don't want you coming to Atlanta, but we want your money in Atlanta? How was that being taken here in Atlanta? What were some of the business people, like the hotels, the restaurants, how are they taking that information when she's telling people not to really come to Atlanta?
Well, about 8 months ago, you know, the governor and her and the mayor were going back and forth about shutting the city down about 8-9 months ago. So the city was up in the uproar. Restaurants were not making money. The hotel was making money. Now the All-Star Weekend coming. So it was saying, we're trying to save the people in the city because we got people coming a different way. But it's a money politics, it's a money thing. The people, the business was struggling.
Right. Business is struggling, but you committed to the NBA for All-Star Weekend. And I know they probably committed this a year out. But you do have an option to say to the NBA commissioner, listen, we don't want this here. We're shutting down everything. We're going to go to a curfew of about 6 o'clock. And once you hit that, no one would have come to Atlanta. But you committed to the NBA.
That's true.
At no point did you go and tell the NBA, listen, we don't want this event here due to COVID. But Atlanta has been wide open from the get-go, as everybody say. That's why everybody's been coming to Atlanta every weekend, regardless if there's All-Star Weekend going on or not. People has been coming to Atlanta for its wide openness. If you walk around Atlanta at any point, you can see in certain places there is no mask being worn by people. So how much of that really was a smoke screen to say, hey, listen, I got to say it politically, but we want your money to steal comfort.
I think she was psyching people out and saying, hey, don't come. Because you tell people no, people say, I'm coming anyway. Think about it. Oh, I'm not, you know, I'm coming. Are you going to tell me no? I'm coming to Atlanta. You know,
we as the brothers, when you tell us no, we're going to do it anyway. Now we're going to go against the grain. It's just like when you say good, when you say that's bad, and bad meaning good in this day and age. Yeah. You know, she knew once you put that out and it hit the national spotlight, don't come to Atlanta. That made people even want to come even more because they're saying, okay, what is it in Atlanta that I do not want to do? That I do not want to see that Miss Lance Bottom is saying don't come. I mean, when you look at it, the traffic really started coming in last night, about 8, 9, you can see the traffic start to build up. Now, it's not the traffic that was here a year ago during Super Bowl. It's not near that. It was gridlock from grit to grit. It took you probably in an Uber 30, 40 minutes just to get to one block. You were better off getting out your vehicles and walking. Yes, but with her not putting the pizzazz and putting a shutdown to it, the NBA game continues. Commissioner came out and said, hey, listen, everybody be careful, but we're still having NBA All-Star Weekend. It's not being shut down. The NFL shut down its Pro Bowl, and even shut down the NFL Combine because, you know, they're saying, hey, listen, we don't want it. But the NBA say, listen, this is a part of our game. This is a part of our fans. They love it. Yeah. All-Star Weekend is a middle break for our players to release themselves, to bring their family to an All-Star Weekend. But she wasn't able to stop that. So the game will continue. But let's look at the lineups, the two different lineups, the two captains of both teams. You got Kevin Durant and you got LeBron James. Mark, let's look at that lineup. And the way that is set up, Mo, unless LeBron team stop playing, period. Just stop playing, period.
Right.
I don't see how Kevin Durant team even have a chance against LeBron's team. Let's give me the lineup. Let's give us this some of the lineup that is on LeBron's team. So that way
You got Steph, Luka, you got Jovic, you got Brown, you got PG. Come on, you got Rudy, you got Leonard, Chris Paul. I mean, Ben Simmons, I'm naming them all. Tobias. The bonus, I mean, you have all of them playing in that with LeBron. You got shooters. You got athletes. You got people who can play defense and hungry. None against Team Durant. They got a little more stacked team. The team a little more stronger with shooters, athleticism. You know what I mean? So correct, I think with Durant, you know, they got Bill. They got Kyrie Irving, you know, and Irving can be Leonard. But you look at Jason Tatum. And you got AD. You got some players in it, but over here you have the strong lineup. These guys can shoot. They athletic. They crafty. You know, look how everybody's in the crafty on that team. So LeBron, it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be competitive, but LeBron's going to put it out. LeBron's going to put it out this weekend. And
so you think Kevin Durant does not have a chance at all? And I when I look at that lineup, I'm pulling for LeBron on that. Despite the lineup, I'm just a LeBron fan when it comes to it. You know, it's that debate of is he the GOAT or is Michael Jordan the GOAT? Because I'm from the old school, so I'm always going to lean toward Michael Jordan as being the GOAT
of
this. Now, do you ever – if LeBron – now if LeBron get MVP of the league this year and the Lakers win it all, how much of that conversation of the GOAT start taking over for LeBron over the top of Michael Jordan? Do that conversation really starts to heat up around the basketball world that LeBron is the greatest basketball player of all time, or do Michael Jordan still holds that persona?
Well, you know, a different generation. You know, people say LeBron is better than Mike. And our generation said Mike was better than LeBron, but you got to understand, Mike. Every time Mike went to the championship, he won one. You know, he won a ring. You know, and that's kind of comparison. But LeBron did well. You know, that LeBron did well. Like, wow, he went to a different team and won. So he got something a little bit old. That's a difference. You know, you're right. That's a little different. He pulled every team he played with, the Cleveland, Miami, and the Lakers, he won the championship. Mike never did that. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that's something different. You know, different body, different time and age. You know, you think LeBron would have made it back there playing at the Pistons? I don't know. I know Mike might have had a field day playing with these guys now. You know, it's a different kind of era. But no, I always say Michael Jordan is always the GOAT. I'm saying, take enough of LeBron. He's athletic, but Michael's a go-to guy, and I put him on the trophy mount all the time because I know what we're gonna get out of Mike.
Now, and you spoke about it, that LeBron has gone to three different teams. And let's take it back to when he was with Cleveland. When he got with Cleveland, and then he leaves Cleveland, Cleveland bottoms out. He comes to Miami and promised Miami several rings, even though Miami had already had a ring prior to him coming. But he comes and Miami ascends to the top of the basketball world. But then he leaves Miami and heads back to Cleveland, win in Cleveland, and then after he wins in Cleveland, he goes to L.A., and he wins in L.A. When you look at that, people will say, well, yeah, Michael Jordan did it with one team. Yeah, he did.
Right.
But Michael Jordan, and back then it wasn't nothing thought of a dream team. But when you think about it now, Michael Jordan did create a dream team. When he bought Rodman in, understanding that he couldn't beat the Bad Boys of the Detroit Pistons. He could not beat the Bad Boys. So he brought in Dennis Rodman, which is like bringing in with Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen. Mm-hmm. And he brought these guys in. Once he brought them in and understood what it took to master, to ascend Chicago to greatness, he had to build. Technically, he did build a dream team. It's not what they're looking at now, to where now these guys are able to say, hey, listen, I'm going to go play with you. Just like when we look at it, the dream team of this year that's been built is in the Knicks, in Brooklyn.
Yeah, they are.
You know, they're now, but how much of a dream team will that be when it comes to a true dream team? Can they win? Can the Nets really win it all? Can Brooklyn really, can they really win it all from a standpoint of winning it?
Well, I'll tell you this. Defense wins the game always. You know, James Harden don't play defense. You know, that he's just off the score. But KD won and Kyrie won a championship. So they know the level of, to get to that level to the championship, to the NBA championship, to know how to get to doing that championship.
Correct.
So, it's going to be tough. Defense, Kyrie said something. We got to win and play defense. You know, but I see Philly play tough defense. I see Boston. It's going to be tough coming out back east. You know, I mean, on paper, they look good. But, you know, when China, the ball go up in the air, you notice that James Harden always in the playoffs, he fades out. Why? Is he burned out? What's going on? He's not, you know, what are you doing? He didn't have a bad game his last game. Every series have a bad game. You know, what is he burning up, doing too much? I mean, you got I see them being in second and third in the playoffs and not being around one. Philly look good now. Philly always gonna look good. They got a great coach with Doc Rivers. So I see them putting off and Boston putting off then the Nets, because the Nets are not gonna put it off. But you got Milwaukee now. Still about Milwaukee. We even talk about Milwaukee, you know, they're still playing too now.
So you're saying your front runner from the East is not the Nets when it comes it's not the Nets. So how would you label your top three, as you stated? How would you label your top three coming out of the East?
I'm gonna give Philly because of coach. I'm gonna give Boston number two. I'm gonna give Milwaukee number three. I'm gonna give the Nets number four. In between, but those teams are gonna compete for that Eastern Conference Championship. They're gonna battle. Those the ones gonna get to the championship game and play against LA, because LA gonna be on the West anyway. So, but I think numbers wise, I see playing physical, I see Philly. than that right. game, and I see Boston playing physical with L.A., and I see Milwaukee playing physical. I can see the Nets playing physical with L.A.
Coming out of, now, okay. Let's head to the West. How do you see it playing out on the West?
Well, I definitely see L.A. being number one. Mm-hmm. You know, number two. I don't know about those Clippers. The Clippers are looking okay. You know, uh-huh. And then you got I like Phoenix now. Booker, he's a ball player. But Chris
correct.
Ball now. I'm looking at LA going to be number one in out there in the West, and definitely competing again win that championship because it's going to long. And we're talking about LeBron. Every time LeBron goes somewhere, he bring a team with him, and he I like his attitude too. He say, I want you to win championship with me, so I want to bring you along. I know you, you know, and that's a good thing. That's excellent thing as a team. Yeah, he's a team player. I want you to come here so we can win championship together. So that's a good thing. LeBron, he worked hard for them to win one, so they can say they got a ring.
We're live on the Tony Sands Show, live from the Marriott Marquis All Star Weekend. Man, it is a sizzle. We're gonna come back with my man Mo Love with the Dove. Here on the Tony Sands Show, after we come out to this quick commercial break, we're coming back talking more NBA All-Star Weekend. We're live back here at the Marriott Marquis live on the Tony Sands Show, live from All-Star NBA Weekend. Well, someone was trying to take the fizz and the buzz and the excitement out of All-Star Weekend, but the game, as they say in their terms, the game must continue, and it did continue despite what I would call Lance Bottom, which is the mayor of Atlanta, was trying to mm-hmm. not let this happen. But it wasn't a smoke screen, and me and my man Mo Love breaking it down, I think she was just basically trying to say, come but don't come. If I tell you not to come, mm-hmm. then you would come. So Maurice, as we talk about it, one thing when you're talking about All-Star Weekend, you always think of the NBA conversation, the slam dunk conversation. But let's break it down now. Everybody's thinking that LeBron is the front runner to win the MVP. But, you know, you got people like Jason Tatum, Luke K. Which one of them do you see as being the front runner to challenge LeBron for this MVP type of conversation here at All-Star Weekend and where? The Peach State, Atlanta.
Well, you know, always LeBron always be the first runner up, but first look at being the MVP. But yeah, Luka, he balling. He's been balling since last year. And people like his game. They he's a young kid and he can ball. He can score. He's crafty. That's important. You know, as an athlete, he can do an excellent job of looking on the floor, passing, you know, and they like him. The NBA kids like him. They like his game. NBA players like the game they're talking about. So that's a point. Young guy, Jason Tatum. I love Jason Tatum's game. I can see him being a part of MVP name. You got James Harden, you know, playing for the Nets. Can't forget about Steph Curry. You know, since his team, you know, have a little struggle. Not like they used to being at the top running in the West. Steph is still shooting bars. Steph's still playing. Steph, you know, putting on numbers up. You know, you don't hear about it like you don't see it.
And that's why I can say the conversation about Steph Curry to me has kind of died down a little bit to where his name is not coming up as much as it used to come up when it came to the basketball world. What has Kevin – has that – contributed to Kevin Durant leaving or they're just not that good of a team anymore?
Well, you know, Draymond Green messed it up when he made that comment. We always talked about it last time we talked. The way in the comment, and KD felt some type of way. But KD was that man to take him over the hump, you know, to beat LeBron. So you got to think about it. KD is a different kind of basketball. Before he got the injury, I thought he was just, when he played in the USA Olympics, he was playing like, this cat got the skill set, this guy's skill set to score at will, pass the ball. Now mm-hmm. you see he went to the Golden State, and now at Golden State he's left. They're looking like, okay, now what happened? You know, KD, now we can win without him. That's not true. They needed that punch for KD. And then realizing that now they biting their tongue, they like, why we did what we did, why Draymond Green said what he said. It's a business. But Draymond Green said, you know, mess it up for Golden State. Because, you know, KD didn't want to leave. But, you know, since he felt uncomfortable, he's like, I'm not going to stay. You say, you know, he's with a comment, we don't need you. We won a championship without you. Well, I'm going to stay there, you know? So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The conversation of you looked at how high Steph Curry had risen, and sometimes it doesn't take that much. But was Kevin Durant truly trying to get out of the Golden California and get from up under Steph Curry and create his own dynasty? When you look at Boston's, when you look at the Nets team, is Kevin Durant truly the face of that team, or is he the LeBron of the Lakers for the Nets?
He's the LeBron for the Lakers. You know, he's not the face because they want James Harden to be. Because Kyrie, you know, Kyrie said, you heard what he said about a couple of weeks ago. James Harden's our point guard.
Right.
You know, like, and that kind of threw me off. You know, because the talk of the city, the talk of the town is they got three balls and that ball bounces. They craft it with the ball. They're not just like a Steph Curry. They got to have the ball in their hand. So you see them looking, waking on James to shoot the ball. Seeing them, you know, what he's going to do with the ball. Then, you know, it's kind of hard for KD and Kyrie. They work with him. They trying to be great teammates. But to think about it, he got the ball in the hand all the time. You know, you're like, all right, throw the ball to me. You know, give me the ball. Pass me the ball,
right.
You know.
Pass me the ball. So, yeah, correct.
All right. So.
So how have this really, when you look at this whole dynamic, how has it helped bringing All-Star Weekend to Atlanta? Do you feel like it has lifted the city from a standpoint of financially of things? Because, you know, as we wrote down the city, wrote through the areas today, there's a lot of buildings here in Atlanta that are vacant. Do you feel this is something financially wise that can help the city mm-hmm. financially? And she knew it would help the city, so she didn't want it in one place, but she knew if she threw out that word of don't come, that people will still come to Atlanta. Or do you feel she called the NBA office and told them not to have it, and the NBA office said, hey, listen, we're moving forward with this? Because I know I did see the commissioners come out and say at one point in time, hey, listen, this is what our fans love. So it made me wonder, for him to come out and say, this is what our fans love, we're not stopping, and this is a part of our game. Did the mayor's office call them to try to stop this event? Because he came out strongly when it came down to him stating that, hey, this is All-Star Weekend and it is a part of our game. Do you feel or do you think at some point someone from the mayor's office here in Atlanta called the NBA office and said, listen, you guys cannot have this? And so they came out and said, since you're saying that, we're going to do it anyway.
Right. I think they called definitely, you know, to see they can stop it, to make sure, you know, keep people from the city. But, you know, when we went to the city, Ryan, the city today, you know, the city blocked for movies and they're making movies in the city.
See, Atlanta, that's what I can't understand. You're having movie sets go on.
Right.
Which still brings money to your city.
Right.
But you say that you don't want this NBA game going on. Do you think she felt, well, the movie scene won't bring on a lot of people, but this basketball All-Star game would bring a lot of people?
Yeah, with different areas, you know, and, you know, because the spread of this virus was bad in the beginning, so it's kind of started, but we've been wide open. We were the first state to be wide open. You know, we never stopped being wide open. We kept everybody, and people still hanging out in the city, still some wearing their masks, some not wearing their masks. So it's not the people coming in either. It's the people in the city, too. You know, you went to a basketball game, high school game, and nobody in the stands had masks on.
So that's what I'm saying. So I have a mixed emotions about it when it comes to how this is being perceived. When you say that, you know, you don't want people to come to your city, but the people right. that are coming to your city are pretty much following the mandate, but it's the people within the city that are not following your mandate. So I'm kind of confused on what she really was trying to put out, and I wonder at some point will this come back to her as a PR nightmare for her, you know, to look at, man. It is crazy, but listen, people are saying they've been cooped up with this COVID for the longest, and they're ready to right now get out, enjoy themselves, and happen to fall on All-Star Weekend and All-Star Weekend saying, hey, listen, this thing is jumping. I mean, a lot of the events are going on. They're all over the place. Atlanta is still hot. So I'm curious to see why that she would want to have stopped the game versus, right. you know, hey, listen, I got to let it play out and let me see where it's at this point. But like I said, this is a great weekend here. We're live on the Tony Sands Show, live from All-Star Weekend. As we go to commercial break, we're going to come back and we're going to shift gears. We're shifting gears. Can the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott meet a deal prior to the deadline on Tuesday? Stay tuned as I stay with Mo Love and I bring on Liz with the Wiz as we talk this conversation. The Dallas Cowboys, will they meet the deadline or will Sierra be coming to Dallas? Stay tuned here on the Tony Sands Show. All right. We're live here on the Tony Sands Show. I'm Tony Sands with my man Mo with the Dove and Liz the Wiz live here on the Tony Sands Show. Liz is joining us out of the Fort Lauderdale area. Listen.
Yes.
How you doing, Liz? What's going on?
I'm doing well and enjoying this lovely, lovely 80 degree temperature here.
Well, I can't say too much for the Atlanta temperature because it ain't 80 degrees. I mean, it's cold, but it's not, you know, sunny South Florida neither, where I'm from. Mm. But Liz, let's get it. You know, guys, we're gonna get into this. We're gonna break down this situation with Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys that's been going on for about a year. Dak comes in one over $40 million. All of a sudden, Dak get hurt. Dak, you know, negotiation power drops, and then a bombshell is dropped on everyone when Michael Irvin comes out and says that Russell Wilson have interest in the Dallas Cowboys.
And he's telling the truth, because today on SportsCenter, Russell Wilson said out of the four teams that's looking for him, the only one that he will sign with will be with the Cowboys. And that would be beneficial because he'll come in. He's actually asking less than what Dax is trying to get. Dax's sports agent, Todd France, said if he did sign a contract, it would be 37.7. That's as low as Dak said he's willing to go, but he won't his $44 million. Now, Russell Wilson said he'll even take 37.6, 39 at the most. Now, the only difference that I see a problem with, they say that with Russell being 5 years older than Dax, he has one thing against him. They holding on to that contract and they lingering it out because, one, they don't know if these injuries that he's had. He just had a second surgery on his ankle to clean up from that first one in December. So they're not 100% sure he going to be 100%.
100%.
Right. So
when we look at the cap hit for Russell Wilson, we look at it, the current cap hit will be $32 million in 2021. Uh-huh. The cap hit for the new team will be in 2021 will be $19 million. He has a $39 million dead money to hit trade in 2021, $26 million in 2022, and $13 million in 2023. One thing about Jerry Jones you got to understand, Jerry's telling Dak right now, listen, I know you know what you want, but we got options also. We got options when it comes to the quarterback position from a standpoint. We have a guy that has won the Super Bowl. Probably when we look at it and we go look at overall talent-wise, is a better athlete, a better quarterback than Dak Prescott that has won. Only thing Russell Wilson is saying to everyone is that, hey, listen, I want more say-so in this conversation. I want more say-so from a standpoint. I want it to be like a Tom Brady, to where I can start now bringing in the pieces of the puzzle. When Tom left New England was at that point best not even to make the playoffs. But Tom backs out, jumps out of New England, heads to Tampa because he knew that Tampa had a lineup that he can put a couple pieces together and they could win a Super Bowl.
And we still had $74 million on our salary cap that we could afford Tom Brady.
Exactly. So, and Tom Brady comes to Tampa. The first time ever a city that's hosting an NBA NFL championship wins the Super Bowl. Super Bowls come and they win it. Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, these type of guys are saying to themselves, we want that type of power. Russell Wilson came, Deshaun Watson came out before Russell Wilson did and said, hey, wait a minute, hold on. You guys are bringing in a new GM. Don't I have some say-so? I gave you guys names. I gave them names. I gave you guys a couple of names of a couple of guys that I like, really meaning that fits my style of play to help us win. And they go outside and don't even consult with Deshaun Watson, and they bring in a GM that he didn't like. Yeah. So at that point, he's saying to himself, listen, you guys don't want me here. And we know there's been a history behind the Houston Texans and the way that black athletes are being treated. You know, there wasn't no reason why B-Hop jumped ship. And we know that had a lot with things that going on internal within that organization. But then we look at the organization, and the organization goes right away with no problem. No problem with J.J. Watt, and just release J.J. Watt
free. And he signed with the Cardinals.
And he signs to make more money with the Cardinals. You didn't give that right to B-Hop, even understanding that both of these guys were still up under contract. But you wouldn't, you know, there's had to be stipulations of what Arizona had to give you in order to get B-Hop. But there was no stipulation once J.J. Watt asked for a trade, asked for to be released. Hey, release me out of this.
Hey, Russell Wilson said that the only way that he's going to leave out of Seattle, one, because like last week when he got up and stormed out of the meeting, he has no say-so. He hasn't even asked for a trade, but with them not being compliant, and he said that he is tired, that he doesn't have anybody to block what it – he is weary dealing with a line that couldn't block for him. That's his problem with Seattle.
Right, and that's what he's saying. If you guys not going to give me what I'm asking for to be successful, especially, I understand that Russell Wilson is 9 years in, and now you're on the backup, but Dallas can get Russell Wilson for the next 2 years for $70 million, which is a lot less than what they will be willing to dish out for someone that's really not proven. He's proven from a standpoint of getting you to the playoffs, but not proven in a standpoint of leading you to a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson leads you to a Super Bowl, but not only what comes with Russell Wilson, Jerry Jones is an entertainer. Ciara comes with Russell Wilson.
She is going to provide a lot of money to come in. And the Dallas Cowboys said Russell Wilson, by all means, he is more cap manageable.
Yes, he is. Yes,
so they really – and with him having two NFC championships, one Super Bowl, playoff experience where Cowboys don't, Wilson has never finished worse than 9-7. So that's something Jerry looking at too.
Doug, producer Doug. Doug, play that sound bite of Michael Irvin stating about how this this thing may play out with Dak Prescott.
You've won a Super Bowl. You've been to two. What's he played, 8 or 9 years?
I think this is year 10.
And he's watching, is it 10? And he's watching Pat Mahomes, like, do whatever he wants. and he's watching Tom Brady be Tom Brady, wouldn't you think in a million years you're thinking to yourself, why aren't they treating me this way? Michael Irvin, don't you think he must be thinking, why are they questioning me at this point?
Yes, yeah, Suze, how are you, Suze?
Good morning, Michael.
To talk to you.
Good afternoon,
morning.
Oh,
my God, Suze. You know, there's a lot going on, man. And it's football. It's the gift that doesn't stop giving. Things are really, it doesn't stop. We can't get to an off season. There's no such thing as an off season because every week something is trickling out. And that's the thing now, Suze. That's the thing. We understand. I said this years ago when we started giving out these contracts and you're giving this kind of money and guaranteed money. I said teams have to start making this adjustment. There's no more dominion over these players. It is partnership with these players. And you got to sit here and work with them. Russell Wilson was going through a bad spell. That's what that article's talking about. He's going through a bad spell. Russell Wilson is who we are talking about. Why would you not listen to him on how he feels he can best come out of this situation? That stuff like that blows my mind. When he has to put the football in his hands to go on the football field, you should always listen anyway because he feels what he's coming up with is his best opportunities. And you're saying to him, nah, we're not doing that. That's hard to understand.
I mean, things have changed so much. You look at a young guy like Patrick Mahomes, and they're basically telling him, here are the keys to the car, do as you wish. You're looking at Tom Brady, who can do no wrong. How much more does Russell Wilson have to do, Michael, for Pete Carroll to sit back and say, okay, I'm going to let you run this offense the way you want to run it?
Susie, I'm going to tell you, I know it's hard for people to understand because you can be having great success. You're like, why is this coming up with all of this great success? Even all that Aaron Rodgers is going through and the little rift that seems to be just simmering over there now. And all of this. But I'm telling you, I saw it firsthand. I saw it when we were at the pinnacle coming off back-to-back Super Bowls, these power struggles that come in and tear everything up. I saw it firsthand.
You can hear there, Michael Irvin on the Rich Eisen show speaking about the power structures that start happening when winning takes place. I wanted my way. The coach wanted his way. And in this situation, like you said, Russell Wilson is seeing all these young quarterbacks have it their way, seeing Tom Brady have it his way. But yet and still, I'm still in a box. I'm still in a box. I don't have the control that a lot of the quarterbacks, a lot of the young ones that are having, and Tom Brady is having after winning Super Bowls. You know, right. When you look at Pete Carroll has always been that guy to run his ship the way he see fit. So, Liz, how do you see the Cowboys by Tuesday meeting the deadline to sign Dak Prescott?
Well, they said that with Dak Prescott, he wants a 4-year deal so he can come back in his 30s and say, I want to renegotiate.
Yep.
But Dallas said they want to do 5 years, let's go and get this over with. Now they're having a struggle in between that.
And Jerry has found now, I use Russell Wilson now as my pawn. My negotiation too is like playing poker. Hey, listen, I have the chip. Now the control is back in my favor for me, being that Michael Irvin did come out and say that about this negotiation situation. I think that has probably upped the antes on the Cowboys side of it as saying, now we got the control because guess what? We do have options. We do have an opportunity now to find us a quarterback. And I think the only quarterback that would bring enough pizzazz to him would be Russell Wilson. And a lot of people are criticizing Russell Wilson and saying, how could you put the Dallas Cowboys in the conversation saying that you want that? But now
that with the new contracts to Buffalo's Allen and Baltimore Ravens to Lamar Jackson, This could reset the market value, increasing Dak Prescott's worth.
Yes, yes.
That also was reported.
Yeah, it could increase his worth, but does it increase the value with the Dallas Cowboys, which that's where Dak really wants to stay. He wants to stay with the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. That's just
Dak didn't want to stay with the Dallas Cowboys, period. So I'm just putting it out there that Dak would – see, because Dak understands the dynamics of being a Dallas Cowboy quarterback from the standpoint of when you look at the success that the Dallas Cowboys quarterback have off the field, their commercial endorsements. You look at Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson has one commercial endorsement, and that is Beats, period.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has several commercials.
State Farm and
the only three quarterbacks in the league that has a lot of commercials is Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, and my boy in Cleveland. That's it.
Oh, yeah, true. That's true.
Baker Mayfield is the only one
that has the big endorsement deals. But yet, it's still Russell did win a Super Bowl. Tom don't even have that many endorsement deals. I don't know if that's because he don't need them or it's just being that stigma of having that star on your helmet adds to it. And then you look beyond the game of football and you look at the Dallas Cowboy quarterbacks. If you're looking to go into broadcasting down the line, they are at the forefront. You look at Troy Aikman.
That is
out there. That's killing the market in the broadcast field. So there's money to be made away from the Dallas Cowboys, knowing that you are part of the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm quite sure that is weighing in on that. I'm hoping that they are not playing with the $2,000-$3,000 difference in this, $2,000-$3,000 difference in this between the two of Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott's agents. I'm hoping that they don't, because you can make that $2 million up somewhere else. Guys, we got a call. We got a caller here. Thank you for joining the show. Liz with the Wiz and Mo with the Dirt live here from Atlanta at the Marriott Marquis All-Star Weekend. I'm going to go out and enjoy some of the All-Star Weekend festivities. We're closing out here. You'll join me, my man, Mo Love with the Dub, Liz with the Wiz on a weekend on the Tony Sands Show. See you later, guys.
Everybody have a good day.